This afternoon we'll take up a case in the Shoyoroku, the third classical collection of koans that we study in our curriculum here. The title, Shoyoroku, is often translated as the Book of Serenity. Robert Aiken Roshi points out that a better translation would be the Book of Equanimity. Serenity is a temporary state. Equanimity is the acceptance of all states. The koan in question is one of Dongshan's, so let's take a look at this old fellow for a bit. There are two masters that go by the name of Dongshan, which would be Tozan in Japanese. Both in our lineage, we chant both their names in the ancestral line. The one we're dealing with here is Liangjie of Dongshan Mountain, who lived from 806 to 869 of the Common Era. The other, Shouzhu Zongwei of Dongshan, lived from 910 to 990, quite a bit later. That was the one that got roughed up by Yunmen in case number 15 in the Wumen Guan. We'll be spending time with the earlier Dongshan, Dongshan the Elder, we might call him. He's the one who put forth the five ranks, or the five modes of practice and realization that we study toward the end of our formal koan training. Dongshan, together with his successor Zaoshan, founded the Zaodong House of Chan, which became known as Soto in Japanese. So we owe a great deal to these two as founders of part of our own Zen lineage. As a student, Dongshan traveled about quite a bit, as was the custom of Chan monks at the time. He visited, among others, Nanchuan, then Guishan, and then Yunyan, under whose guidance he had a great awakening. His doubts continued, however, until one day he crossed a bridge over a river and saw his reflection in the water. And then it all came together. And he composed a verse. Just avoid seeking from others, or you will be far estranged from yourself. I now go on alone. I meet him everywhere. He is now just as I, but I now am not he. One must understand this way in order to unite with thusness. I now go on alone. I meet him everywhere. He is now just as I, but now I am not he. This was Dongshan's expression of his realization. So who is this he, the being that I meet everywhere, who is now just as I, not separate, and yet I am not him? What do we seek in our practice? Do we seek understanding in the usual sense? Do we seek knowledge? Do we seek something to grab onto, an anchor, a place to hang our hat? Do we seek a way of being or something to be? What Dongshan discovered is what we must all discover, that which we meet everywhere. Everywhere and every when, infinite and eternal. And yet right here, right now, that which is not separate from ourselves. And yet, I am not he. I, this limited body-mind, will never be able to conceive, think of, imagine, define, cognize, or even grok the great reality, to use Heinlein's word. The trap that we fall into after a moment of realization is to immediately think, aha, now I know. And of course, it's gone. Case number 94 in the Shoyoroku. When Dongshan was unwell, a monk asked, "You are ill, teacher, but is there someone who does not get ill?" Dongshan said, "There is." The monk said, "Does the one who is not ill look after you?" Dongshan said, "I have the opportunity to look after him." The monk said, "How is it when you look after him?" Dongshan said, "Then I don't see that there is any illness." Dongshan is unwell. What kind of sickness is this of Dongshan's? Is he lying in bed with a fever and chills, barfing every now and then? Is he dying? Or is he sitting like Vimalakirti in his 10-foot square hut, sick because the world is sick? And does it matter? After all, we too are sick with the three poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance. And, having been born with this human body-mind, we all suffer a condition that is incurable, progressive, and invariably fatal. Even the Buddha suffered old age, sickness, and death. Nobody is immune, as Karen made very clear yesterday. This koan is therefore about suffering, the first noble truth, and we're certainly all familiar with that. The commentators tell us that Dongshan is ill not just in a Zen sense, but physically. Yet as he lies in bed, a monk, one of those anonymous monks we are constantly running into, comes along. When Dongshan was unwell, a monk asked, "You are ill, teacher, but is there someone who does not get ill?" This is a sharp monk. The teacher is ill, and here's an opportunity. "Yes, teacher, is there one who is not ill? Who might that be?" If you were under the weather and someone were to ask that question of you, how would you respond? Dongshan says, "There is. There is someone who is not ill." How about that? Case 21 of the Shoyoroku reads in part, "When Yunyan was sweeping the grounds, Dao Wu said, 'You are working hard, aren't you?'" Remember that Yunyan was Dongshan's teacher. Yunyan said, "You should know there is one who does not work hard." Dao Wu said, "Is that so? You mean there is a second moon?" Yunyan raised his bamboo broom and said, "What number of moons is this?" Dao Wu was silent. "One says that there is one who is not ill. The other says that there is one who does not work hard. Are they the same or are they different?" When Yunyan said, "There is one who does not work hard," Dao Wu twits him. "You mean there's a second moon?" Good shot. "Is there another something or someone outside yourself in this moment?" But Yunyan is more than equal to the challenge. He raises his broom and says, "What number of moons is this?" Dao-wu can only remain silent. But in the present case, the monk is much more subtle. Does the one who is not ill look after you? One who is not ill, does he look after you? Who will look after you when you are ill? Whether it be a physical ailment or the triple ailment of greed, hatred, and ignorance? Do you put your faith in Jesus, Muhammad, the Buddha, a god, or a saint? Will someone or something supernatural and outside yourself look after you, save you, cure you? And what about Zazen? Will that do the trick? There are accounts by Zen practitioners who claim that they were cured of serious illnesses by doing Zazen. Permit me to doubt. If we sit here in order to cure ourselves, or to gain, or to get rid of something, we will sit a very long time, and to no purpose. Does the one who is not ill look after you? Is that looking for Dao-wu's second moon? But Dongshan turns it around. I have the opportunity to look after him. I look after him. Who is this one who is not ill? Who is it that we have the opportunity to look after? Is this the one that Dongshan meets everywhere? Is this the one who makes no distinctions? Yet this one we will never be able to conceive, think of, imagine, define, or cognize. And yet, Dongshan looks after him, or her, or it. That is to say, he practices. He practices the unknown and the unknowable. To look after, to care for, to attend, that is our practice. To look after, to care for, to attend to our breath, to our mu, or koan, or our sitting. When can we look after this one? When we are ill in bed with a flu or a cold or cancer? Can we still look after this practice? Can we look after the one who is not ill? If we are standing in a chow line, or at the bank, or at the supermarket, can we look after this one? Can we look after the one who is not bored or irritated? If we are prisoners handcuffed up against the wall being frisked for weapons, can we still look after this one? Can we look after the one who is free from anger and fear? Each one of us has the opportunity to look after the one who is not ill, who is not well, who is not bored, or fearful, or happy, or angry. Commenting on this case, Master Tian Tong said, "Able to stay or go, able to go or stay. I can look after him, but he can't look after me. At this moment, how can you totally comprehend?" How can you totally comprehend the one who is not ill? You can't. I can't. The Buddha can't. But it is only this self that exists in the world of time, space, and karma that can look after anything. That can walk, talk, practice the Dharma, knows illness and health, life and death. We live in the light of this world of time, space, and karma. We live with cars, dogs, children's, restaurants, the Super Bowl, win or lose, good, evil, sickness, health, the full catastrophe. But there is also the place, if you can call it that, where there is no illness, no one who works, no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. But if you try to understand that, you are simply dragging all your stuff into some conceptual place of relative darkness. Not the true darkness, which is beyond all that, yet is closer than your own eyeballs. But you can realize it. You can realize this one. You can make it real. Look after the practice. And you will realize the practice. You will become it. Or you will realize that you have always been it, even though you will never understand it. The donkey looks at the well. The well looks at the donkey. The donkey does not comprehend the well, nor the well the donkey. And yet, the donkey looks at the well, and the well looks at the donkey. They are not separate. And Dongshan says, "Then I don't see that there is any illness." The Buddha looked after the one who is deluded. And one day he saw there was no delusion. Dogen said, "The truth appears, there being no delusion. Traps and snares can never reach it." Do not sit with the notion that you will somehow be cured of anything. There is nothing to be cured of. Or that you will escape from something. There is nothing to escape from. Or that you will understand something. There is nothing to understand. Just sit. Just be mindful. Observe carefully the illnesses of greed, hatred, ignorance, thoughts, scenarios, regrets, hopes, and schemes. Watch them arise. Watch them pass away. Those very delusive thoughts, those illnesses, if you look after them, become the one who is not ill. Then you see that there is no illness. Together with all beings, we realize the way.